National Convention, Congressman Tom Emmer.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, Doug. Doug told me you have as much time as you want, about 10 minutes. Thanks for the invitation, Doug. I really appreciate it. And Roger, as I said, welcome home almost. You're right down the street from North Dakota. Roger was talking about the great thing with marriages, men and women making decisions and finding a better result. And it reminded me, you know, you're here in Minnesota, and I understand from Doug, we've got 36 states represented. Welcome to all of you to our little San Diego. I think we're going to hit 60 degrees tomorrow, somebody told me, so enjoy it. But it reminded me of this. You're in Minnesota country. I'm sure there are a few Lutheran farmers here. And I did the Minnesota State Society annual walleye dinner in Washington, D.C. a couple weeks ago with a bunch of Minnesotans in the room, and we are very predictable. We don't take ourselves too serious. And I was doing the raffle at one point of the evening, and there's about 150 people there. And I start out, we pull a ticket. And by the way, you're going to win a whole table full of spam, I think was this one. I pull the ticket and I read 503. And I look around and all the Minnesotans are like this. Oh, geez, I'm in it. I had to say, ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind, every ticket starts with 503. So then I read the last three. And those of you that aren't from Minnesota, watch this for the remainder of the conference because you will see it. I read the winning ticket, and I'm surveying the audience, and I see a lady go like this. That's the way we are in Minnesota. One gentleman actually went like this. Okay? And it reminded me of what Ole, Lena was complaining to Ole, Roger. She was complaining to Ole that you never tell me you love me anymore. You never say it. Ole listened intently as she complained about it, and when she finished, he thought about it for a second. He said, I told you once, if anything changes, I'll let you know. So, very quickly, and you watch now, because you will see this over the week, the next couple of days. So I want to make this very quick. Thank you for having me to the 114th Annual National Farmers Union Convention. I really appreciate being part of it. I want to talk to you very quickly about 14 months. And then if there's time in your game, anything's fair game. We can talk about the presidential election if you want. Although all the excitement seems to be on the Democrat side, so I'm sure that won't be of interest. But here, I went to Washington, D.C. Last year, January 6th. I got sworn in, and as I told my dad, immediately after I took the oath and got sworn in, I started getting sworn at. That seems to be the way it works. But it's been good, because I went with a background here in the state of Minnesota, understanding that our lives are all based on relationships, right? Our personal life, our professional life. It's all about building networks. That's one of the reasons you belong to this great organization, because you're building networks with people similarly situated. God forbid you might learn something from somebody else, and you might actually be able to grow your business, improve your family's station in life. It's the same thing in Washington, D.C. It's all about building relationships. You folks, especially those in Minnesota, but every one of you from whatever state you come from, you own, and that's the way I'm going to put it, you own a congressional delegation, because you do. They work for you. They are your employees. I work for the state of Minnesota. Myself and nine of my colleagues, two senators, who I understand you've already had here, and then there are eight of us members of Congress. And the office that I represent is yours. And so what I did when I went there was I decided this office needs to perform for the people of the state of Minnesota, which means my employers. And how do you do that? You start by building relationships, and that's what I did. I got there and immediately started to get to know the people that I'm serving with. Now, I came from a state legislature, 201 members, a state with a population, according to the 2013 census, of 5.3 million people. And now I'm in this institution that's got 535 members in the legislative body, and we're answering to over 300 million people across this great country. It's quite a difference. And it's a big task going out to meet everybody. But I started, they put me on the Agriculture Committee and Foreign Affairs to begin with. And what I decided to do, and I will tell you, I have great working relationships with our delegation. Colin Peterson, Tim Walls, Rick Nolan, all members of the Ag Committee when I got there, took me in and helped me. Doesn't matter, Republican or Democrat. Yeah, we have different ways of looking at some things. But we all ultimately want the same things, and so it behooves us to get to know each other. That was the focus. Now, they moved me in May to the Financial Services Committee, and I will tell both of you, Roger probably knows it, I asked for a waiver to stay on the Agriculture Committee because I represent a district in the state of Minnesota that actually still has 50% of the ground under agricultural production. And it seems to me that there should be a Republican point of view on the Ag Committee. You know, it certainly would help add some spice. Maybe the way Roger was talking about it, you know, people have different ways of getting to the same goal, hopefully. But they weren't exactly looking for Republicans to fill committee slots, so they didn't allow me to stay. I will get back there, though, and I would guess that the Congress will change quite a bit here coming up to the 115th Congress. So, two things I've been working on that I want to talk about. One, Roger talked about quite a bit, and I'll try to keep it brief. But I got there, and when I was appointed to agriculture and to foreign affairs, I knew right away what I wanted to concentrate on. It was trade. Now, trade can get many different reactions, and it's good to have this discussion, Roger, as you know. We need to have the discussion because we need to have markets open to the products that you produce, the superior products that we produce in this country. And what did I work on? I worked on something called Trade Promotion Authority that all of you probably heard until you were sick of it. But it was misreported, I will respectfully say, it was misreported by the media because they didn't understand it. You know, Mark Twain, I think, was the one who said, you take any three letters in the alphabet, any three, mix them up, throw them up in the air, and when they hit the ground, those three letters will be an acronym for some worthless federal bureaucracy, right? I think that was Mark Twain. And if you think about it, you hear TPA, TPP, TTIP. People in my district, they confuse all of them. They didn't know what they were. Well, TPA, Trade Promotion Authority, we had a very interesting battle on this. You know, the folks on the labor side thought it was going to cost jobs. Folks on the far right didn't like it because the president wanted it, so it must be bad, right? It was just a bizarre turning of events. But here's the part that I just want to emphasize for all of you. They called it fast track. It's not fast track. Fast track was passed back in 1972, and why was it fast track? Because Congress said that the U.S. Trade Representative, the executive branch, can go out and negotiate a trade deal, and because of TPA, Trade Promotion Authority, it will get an up or down vote by Congress without amendments. Okay, the idea was we've got one party negotiating these deals, and we can't have 535 changing the deal if someone on the other side of the table is going to give something up. All right? Now, I don't like fast track. So I'm going to suggest to you that what we passed was slow track, and right now, you and I, we are seeing the benefits of it. Why would I call it slow track? Because under the Trade Promotion Authority law, it not only required the administration, the U.S. Trade Representative, to work hand in hand with Congress, different committees on both sides of the building, the Senate and the House, but it had one other huge piece. What was that? Well, it has to be published. The final agreement had to be published for not just members of Congress to read, but for all of America to read and beyond. So the Trans-Pacific Partnership that Roger referred to was negotiated to its conclusion, allegedly, end of October, early November. We were given the notice that the U.S. Trade Representative has completed the deal in principle with 11 other countries, including Mexico and Canada. Now, what's happened to it since? Why haven't we seen a vote? Because Trade Promotion Authority provides that once the administration requests the vote, in other words, they have to transmit the deal to Congress, then it must wait a minimum of 60 days before Congress can take any action on it. That doesn't mean Congress has to take action on the 61st day. It means a minimum of 60 days. So what's happened? What has happened is that as soon as the U.S. Trade Representative, Michael Froman and his team, said we have a deal, they didn't transmit it to Congress. In fact, my understanding is they are still working on things like currency manipulation and other issues because they don't want to risk bringing it to Congress and having the people we work for say that is not the deal we want to vote for. So actually, Trade Promotion Authority has provided all of us with not only the transparency, you can go and read this agreement right now. You have to go dig it out online, but you can do this. And you can see what's in it. I'm three chapters in so far, and I plan to read all of it before I would even begin to start talking about whether it's good or bad, unlike some of our presidential candidates who apparently are speed readers. And by the way, the first three paragraphs, I'm very disappointed. There are no pictures, so you've got to read the whole thing. I'm a Republican. That's the way it works. All right, so that's one thing, and I'm happy to talk to you about that. The other thing that I've been working on a lot is we focus on Asia quite a bit, and we focus on Europe. You know, you hear about these trade agreements, and Roger again was talking about them. But it struck me, why aren't we talking more about Cuba? You know, our state, the state that you're in today, Minnesota, not only has a $4 billion annual trade agricultural business going with Mexico. Well, agriculture is part of it. I shouldn't say that's all of it, but a major part of it. But we've been in Cuba since they made exceptions to the Helms-Burton Law back at the turn of the century, and the exceptions are to the embargo. They allowed exceptions for medical supplies and agricultural products, and Minnesota was one of the first states. I won't talk about the governor that might have wrestled in his former life that took the first group down, but Minnesota has been in Cuba. And I actually, looking at it, wondered two things. One, you got a population of 11 million people. It's not a giant market, but it's 11 million people 90 miles off our Florida coast, a little bit closer than Asia and Europe. And the second part was, we have spent so much time as a nation with our foreign policy focused on the other side of the Pacific and the other side of the Atlantic, that I believe, respectfully, that we have failed to pay enough attention to the Western Hemisphere and our own backyard. It's imperative in my mind that not only the embargo be lifted, but that we help the Cuban people once again be able to self-determine and self-govern. So, I think I did that quick enough. Doug, if there's time, here's what I want to leave you with. And if you want questions, again, anything's fair game. Anybody who knows me knows that I don't shy away from much of anything. Unless my wife is calling, then I might. I just want you to know, my office is open for your business. Anything you need, I don't care where you're from. We represent one district in the state of Minnesota, but that means we work for all of Minnesota and everybody else in this room. So if there's anything we can ever do for you, please let us know.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
You want me to stay or?
Oh, it's up to you. You
want to take I don't care.
Okay. Congressman Engler says take a couple questions. Anybody? We've got, where is it? One, Mr. Valdi?
I was just wondering your feelings on country of origin labeling coming back.
Okay, thank you. And one after this.
I'm going to defer. You know, Roger said we got to get our facts correct. I think, though, Roger, wasn't it George W. that said, now this is a true fact? I think that's when we started with the... I think it's going to end up being a voluntary program is what I understand, and that's coming from both Democrats and Republicans on the Hill. I don't think it's done by any means, but I do think it's going to be voluntary rather than a mandate, which frankly, if people in the marketplace, like Roger was talking about, if people want to know where their food's coming from and you can voluntarily let them know that, guess what? We produce the best stuff around the globe, so they might as well know where it's coming from.
Last one now. Anybody else? One? I mean, it's like an auction now.
Free drinks on Doug.
Yeah, free drinks on Doug.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you. All right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.